We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. It is the Tuesday, September 26th edition of the program. We've got a lot planned for you, aka I don't exactly know while I'm talking what's going to be on the program because it is 6:52 a.m. Monday morning as I'm recording this. I was just on Channel 12 talking some Taylor Swift, talking some Packers. Tim Shea of Channel 58, he joins us for a few moments. You know what I didn't like realize?
Yeah.
Because I've had people message me already in the 3 minutes that I've been on. I use different backgrounds for my show.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using my real basement for a while with things on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
I threw up the Zoom background because I wanted to go without hat and I wanted a lighter background. So I went with my old living room background and people are texting me like, you got a grand piano in your house? So now Milwaukee TV watchers are going to be like, they brought this podcaster on and he's got a piano in his house. Always the illusion.
I was thinking when I was watching you, I was like, people are going to actually think that's his house. So
yeah. Well, and you got to notice the lights. It's a lot. You know, people always think there's windows in this background and it's, you know, that you've seen many times on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream.
Mm-hmm.
Who I need to get in touch with. I have like 100 of his koozies still. I don't know if he wants me to pass them out.
I have one.
Well, I got them all. If anybody wants a Dan Shaney koozie, email me and get you one. What's up, Tim? Packers, big win.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't join you, you know. I was out and about, so
yeah,
like you couldn't get my, you know, reaction right away. I probably would have made no sense like normally. So,
I think people have been clowning on me because I was talking shit about LaFleur all game, and then his team come back and wins. But yeah, people trying to tell me that they were confident in that one. I mean, okay. I really thought 17-0 when they kicked the field goal. I thought they're not, this isn't.
I was trying to plan out. I was trying to think, okay, how can we get to 3-2?
Mm.
Now we can be 4-1.
And I do also want to say, you know, I'm in this great defense for my actions. If you're ever watching a game and you don't think like your team's going to come back and win, it doesn't make you not a fan.
They didn't show anything to make me believe that they were going to win. Nothing.
And the Saints inexplicably got bad, even though Winston was fine. I got to go rewatch that one. I don't know what happened with them.
And Winston wasn't fine. I mean, he was below average.
He had 100 yards. He was like 11 for 12.
Yeah, but how much of maybe 50% came of that on the last drive?
I felt like they kind of stopped running the football.
They did.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Well, and then, you know, everybody that loves Matt LaFleur, Josh McDaniels, Sunday night with the dumbest decision ever, kicks a field goal down 8. And then I was reminded online that Matt LaFleur once did that so high profile that Aaron Rodgers got made fun of it on Jeopardy. You know what's the shame, Tim? Tim, I and a Packers win, I ended up blocking like 40 people.
40?
Yeah. You know, it's an automatic block.
What?
I let a lot of things bounce off the chest.
Mm-hmm.
But people were People were moaning against me on Sunday, calling me Skip Bayless. It's a lame insult. You can't just because someone has an opinion that you don't like, it doesn't mean they're Skip Bayless.
Welcome to the football season. Come on.
Yeah, it is football. You can tell when it's football. More people are dancing around the pond when it's football.
And you get a little feisty too during the football season. So I'm just saying.
Oh, I did some research. I officially am going to not buy a blue check mark.
Okay, with that money, I'm going to the game, the Packer game on Thursday. Either A, you can buy me a drink with that blue check mark money, or maybe
I'm not buying it.
I know. So with that money, though.
Oh, the $8 I'm saving?
Yeah. Oh, it's only $8. I thought it was more. Never mind.
You're going to the game? Are you going off Friday?
Yes. So what jersey should I buy when I go spend money at this team store? Who should I buy?
All right. Now, here is a great critical question, because it's not like you're 125 pounds, is what I'm saying.
You. So don't buy a jersey?
No. I didn't say that. But I think you need to buy a lineman's jersey.
Extra. Oh, okay. I thought you were just going to say like an extra large sweatshirt.
No, I think you can, I think anyone can wear the quarterback's jersey. So you could get love.
Don't get like Watson.
No, you can't be walking around in a Watson jersey. And I feel like I fall on the same.
Okay.
Anybody can get the quarterback jersey, but then if you're like a little, you know.
So you're thinking like David Bakhtiari?
Oh, yeah, you can get a Bakhtiari jersey. They might confuse you and actually put you in the game.
Or if we want to go retro, Reggie White.
Reggie's a good one. I would like you. Cameron wore this on our stream the other day. I'd like you in double sixes.
I saw that.
I'd like you wearing Ray Nitschke. Are there any famous Packers that had the last name Jay?
Here's another question. Are people allowed? Well, I guess that you're allowed to do anything. But should you wear an Aaron Rodgers jersey right now?
If I want to wear a jersey,
I have two jerseys only, and they're both Rodgers home and away.
You can wear a Rodgers jersey still.
Okay.
Wearing a Rodgers Jets jersey, I would say, is a no-no.
Should I be one of those people that put duct tape over it and put, like, love?
Nah. wearing a Favre, I would even say, you can wear any Rodgers, you can wear any Rodgers Packers, any Favre Packers. You can wear Favre Jets. You can't wear Favre Vikings, and you can't wear Rodgers Jets. Oh, you can wear Favre Falcons. You can wear Rodgers Cal. You can wear Favre Southern Miss. You can wear Love Utah State.
I think you can wear. All right. Well, I'll let you know what I do. But with that $8, you can send me a beer.
I don't think that covers it.
No, it won't. I still need $3 more.
Did you go to the Badger game?
Oh, they were at Purdue. I watched it.
Oh, yeah, it was Friday night.
Friday night, good win.
Are we back in on the Badgers?
Kind of.
Washington State's undefeated.
I know. They're good. Washington State's not a bad team. And I'm going to tell you this. Call me crazy. But if the Badgers can get, you know, three wins here and get to that Ohio State game at, 6-1? Just saying. They have a chance. Ohio State is not the Ohio State of years past. So I'm just saying.
Can I think college football
playoff? They could beat Ohio State.
Can we think college football playoff? I'm only interested. I don't care about Big Ten titles. I only want college football playoff.
If they win out, yeah.
Because then they would probably beat Michigan.
They have to win out. If they win out, they're in.
Michigan is going to beat Ohio State by possibly more than Oregon beat Colorado.
Can Wisconsin hang with Michigan State? Sorry, Michigan State.
Oh no, we'll get
sorry. Okay. Can Wisconsin beat Ohio State?
I don't know.
I think they can. We'll see.
How about Graham Mertz has turned Florida around too? Don't give me that.
Stop.
Fish posh.
It's their defense. Have you watched the games?
Florida?
Yeah.
I saw that catch.
Can we talk Brewers for a minute or two?
Yeah, so they did not clinch. Everybody thought they were going to clinch over the weekend. They had a million runs on Friday. And Rowdy Tellez was able to become the 11th Brewer or whatever to pitch his way into the playoffs and first position player ever. Then they did not win on – I haven't seen a pitch since Friday.
They haven't pretty much scored. I mean, I guess Santana hit a home run Saturday to tie the game at 4-4, but then lose on a wild pitch. And then Sunday, I didn't watch Sunday, but I knew it was a 6-1. I don't even know the final score on Sunday. The Cubs swept the Rockies, so here we are, six games so to go. Night.
You know what? I think this is kind of better.
Do it at home?
Well, they got something to play for still. And they're going. There's no way they lose every game and the Cubs win every game.
No, right? Is there?
They will win the North.
Are we sure? You can call it the North.
But you give them something to play for.
I will be at the game Tuesday.
Wow, you are everywhere. You got to work Wednesday?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. Take a nap.
You're at work right now as we're talking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm monitoring. I can do
a monitor. Aren't you going to listen to the scanner?
I'm a multitasker.
What if something happened?
I got it right in front of me.
Channel 12 was showing me a traffic problem. Are you not on that?
Oh, please. It's cleared. They're a little late. It's cleared.
You guys don't have a chopper, do you?
No, we have a drone. We have a nice little drone here. It's pretty nice.
Why do news stations still have choppers in the drone era?
I don't know.
Maybe that guy's got like tenure.
Six doesn't have a chopper. I can tell you that.
No, you work there.
Made you laugh. There we go.
Oh, no.
You made yourself laugh.
I seen the doctor on Tuesday.
Oh, that sounds awful. Well,
I knew it, I thought.
No.
Oh, shit.
So the Brewers should wrap everything up on Tuesday, as long as Wainwright's not going. Do we have pitching matchups?
I saw the Brewers that there's out, and Corbin's going to be on, like, 4 days rest for the playoffs, maybe?
Yeah.
I think that's a steal. I think you stack your guys.
Well, you set it up for, what, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? We got to discuss playoffs too.
What about
maybe we go to a game, a wild card game?
Yeah. Again, I just want to be able to do a post game show.
I know. Well, okay. Tuesday's pitching matchup. Sorry, my phone's a little slow in here.
That's all right. It's just a newsroom. No,
Wade Miley and Zach Thompson.
Okay.
So. Corbin Burns, Miles Michaelis.
What are you looking at? I'm looking at Brewers.com, and I have Adrian Hauser, Zach Thompson.
I have Brandon Woodruff and Dakota Hudson.
I have Corbin Burns and Dakota Hudson.
Wow.
What are you looking at? I'm on Brewers.
ESPN. The matchups.
No. Got to look at Brewers. Brewers.com. Adam McKelvey, I think, puts those in himself.
Okay. All right.
People don't know that. People don't know he does that. What was the big story today?
Nothing yet. Hmm. It's kind of a slow news day so far this morning.
Yeah, we need those. Well, and there's some strike going on. You got.
Yeah, you got. Okay, you got the UAW strike. The big story this morning is the tentative deal reached by the writers union. The writers' strike is over.
Good. I need my Marvel shows back.
We need our SVU.
SVU, we need. Yep. I still haven't finished last season. Tim, should I do Loki post game show for Loki?
No. What else happened? Another big story. Packers run this city.
I mean, I just did 5 minutes on Channel 12 because I'm a podcaster. Of course, they run this city.
Boy, you're all over the place. You want to give your CBS schedule this week?
Monday I had a show. Friday I'm on again. You can also hear my voice a couple of times this week at Sherwood High School. Doing PA for soccer. I'm going to miss the first quarter of the Packer game.
Hopefully. Okay. All right. All right. So, hopefully I'll join you Thursday after the Packer game. Live from Lambeau.
I like this. Hey, on Mondays, I'll just pop off Channel 12 and talk to you a little bit.
Okay. I can give you the top stories of the day.
Yeah, and then this will air 24 hours after you gave them to me.
Remember, these were top stories on Monday, everybody. Monday.
Yes. This is Monday. There's a whole day yet of fun to come that I will eventually put on the show. All right, pal.
Early prediction. Packers beat the Lions.
You can't predict anything with this team. Lions are 2-point.
I know, you can't. Well, yeah, what's the line? What's the early line?
Lions are 2-point favorite.
Okay, might have to go down to Pato.
Okay, everyone thinks I'm a Packer hater, so if I predict the Lions, I don't want.
I said going into the bye, the Packers would be 3-2. So,
I think the Lions win 23-21. 2 points push.
I'm gonna go after you on Twitter now.
Yes, I just talked to Winks. Thanks. He thinks the Lions are gonna win. Fuck that guy.
No Badger game this weekend too. So. They're already at their bye.
They pretend to care about them after they lose.
Well, I think they're back in it. I really do. I think they have a chance. The offense is playing a little better, you know, each week, and they just got to, for some odd reason, they got to figure out the defense, which is, again, odd to say.
So, Tim, make sure you all tell us what jersey you get.
I will.
I'll talk to you.
Goodbye, everyone. Go Brewers.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
I want them gummy squares. I want them gummy squares. I want some sleepy sleepy with no more anxiety. I need them gummy squares. I need them gummy squares. I need my wife to find her happy place really soon. We have Delta 8 CBD and new Delta 9s. Go to happyplacehemp.com.
My theory is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are not dating, is my theory. Taylor Swift has been rumored with different guys throughout her career, throughout her life. As any, you know, person is, you explore different relationships, you get pretty serious with some, they don't work out, maybe, you know, you have a fling here, a fling there, there's no judgment. But every time that Taylor Swift has been involved with a guy, I feel, it's been very secretive. It's been like, oh, there's a paparazzi that might have got a picture with her and this guy. Or is this song about, you know, she went to the Chiefs game, sat in a booth next to Donna Kelce. That seems almost like That seems too choreographed to me.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Bart, hey, Tony from Texas here. Got a couple of things I want to bring up. First of all, Matt LaFleur. So you and Hot Take Jake both want Matt LaFleur gone, yet the man's got a 49-20 record. 49-20, the last 4 years plus, and you want to get rid of him. Doesn't make much sense to me, Bart. Unless they completely fail this year, you're not firing Matt LaFleur. All right, let's go to this last game. Huge win for the Packers. I got to bring up a couple of things from the game, though. One, whatever happened to that rule where you had to basically slowly but surely bring the quarterback down without hurting him? Remember Clay Matthews with that mystery penalty? I think it was against the Vikings way back when, and they called the penalty, and we couldn't believe it. I swear, Rashawn Gary did the same thing and even harder against Derek Carr. So no idea where that rule went, but I found that interesting. Next, the back shoulder fades. I know it worked at the end, but we got to get more diverse with our routes. How about that? Third, Luke Musgrave. We finally got a guy that can get open up the middle. Jordan Love's got to hit him, but Luke Musgrave looks like a stud. Huge Packer win. Don't know why people are giving up on them in the middle of the game. The Saints are not a good team. And lastly, Bart, in the NFC, who is clearly better than the Packers right now? Clearly better than them. It's not your Dallas Cowboys. They fell back to earth. I've been watching Cowboy football closely for 30 years, and ever since 1996, they do this every year. So the Cowboys will be the Cowboys. They're going to fall back to earth. They're going to choke in the big time. So you got the Eagles. You got the 49ers. I'll give you that. But there's no other team you can clearly say is better than the Green Bay Packers. Now, this Thursday, we will find out. Hopefully everyone is playing. All hands are on deck. But I'm going to say it right now. It's call me crazy. The winner of this game is winning the North. Lions-Packers, Thursday night. Never been more important. Can't wait. Talk to you soon, Bart.
Thanks for Tony in Texas for the voicemail. Thank you, sir. Cardinals Place voicemail line, 402-915-BART. 402-915-BART. 2278. You can call and leave a voicemail. The fun part about that is the voicemail goes directly to my phone. So my phone rings when you leave a voicemail. So sometimes it's not a big deal. Sometimes it's very annoying, but because it's like a Google Voice number, so I'd have to pay for it. I could get a whole separate line. I could have the phone number be 414-799-1250, and then have that ingrained for 15 years, and then change it to 677-1250, and then. To destroy the station 3 weeks later. I could do that, but that's already been done before. Carl's Place golf simulators. Okay. You need to put one in your house and you need to do it right now. You need to go to carlovet.com/Bart right now. And I know that you say, Bart, my house isn't big enough for one of these. And you may be surprised they can get it into some nice spaces. Also, may I suggest buying a new house? Buy a new house. I know realtors. We got realtors that listen to the pod. We can get you a home. So we'll get you a home. You put your golf simulator in there. And then for your housewarming, you have a bunch of Omaha steaks and a bunch of gummies. And you're going to buy a house with all the money you want on Splash Sports. And the website will be beautifully done by the guys from Sun Ann Interactive, the realtors, and you'll get it all insured with Dan Shaney Insurance, and you'll be dressed to the nines in your four golf apparel merchandise, and you will be in a nice neighborhood where everyone drives safe because they've been listening to the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Okay? Is it that much to ask? Is it that much to ask? I don't think so, personally. It's not that I want LaFleur gone. I think the point that I was trying to make during the game, and I said some negative things during the game. Everybody's trying to pretend like, oh, we knew at 17-0 we would come back and win. There were maybe seven people that thought that. LaFleur didn't. LaFleur said he blacked out. He barely even remembers. You think he thought he was coming back at 17-0? No, they're going to keep trying and, you know, play. But, man, you put him on a lie detector test, he probably thinks he's going to lose. But maybe we're 7 super optimistic fans. But Aaron's trying to take victory laps. All right, enough about that. I just don't know that he's – I just see a lot of – maybe he wins a Super Bowl. Whatever. I see things that Matt LaFleur does that I have complaints about or concerns about, and they're the same complaints and concerns I had 5 years ago. So sometimes I do think the moment's too big for him. So I don't know what kind of motivator he is. Although you look in that locker room, that video, if you saw it, Rashawn Gary, super pumped. Jordan Love. This team loves Jordan Love, dude. This team loves Jordan Love. And again, if you want to take a highlight reel and nitpick, and you know, there's some bad throws. I see some people just think that this is it. This is the best he's going to be. Which I don't know if that's true. And we don't even know what that is yet. We're still in this mystery of what is this? Who is this? He's clearly skilled. He's clearly capable. He makes some throws that look very Aaron Rodgers-esque. He does seem to miss on accuracy, excuse me, a little bit. So there are some things that he can improve. But they were down 17-0, and he brought them back. And I think right now that tells me more than anything else that I saw with this Packer team so far. Are they the best in the NFC? The Eagles. All right, so the Eagles keep rolling. But yeah, NFC is kind of wide open. Thursday's going to be a big one. Thursday's going to be a big game. Now, will the Packers be healthy? That is a concern. That is a question. I think a lot of us, when we saw Jones and Bakhtiari and Watson out, we thought, all right, well, they'll play on Thursday. Well, there was no practice Monday, so injury reports are an estimation, but they would have estimated that Aaron Jones and Rashawn Gary would be limited, and I don't know, Tony, the answer to your question. I think they were really trying to call it very hard that so many years ago. Was it 2018? Maybe earlier than that? It was a tie game, Vikings, you're right. And maybe that's just not a rule of emphasis. But Gary was limited. Aaron Jones was limited. Not participating, again, hypothetically, Carrington Valentine, Zach Tom, Christian Watson, Elton Jenkins, Devondre Campbell, David Bakhtiari, but they say vet rest and knee. So putting eggs in two baskets. Jair with a back and Zane Anderson, safety. So those were all on the non-participation list. But again, that was an estimation. Very quick week, very quick turnaround. Thursday night they will play. We will have the post-game show for you. The Packers have won 2 games. And what we're going to do at the end of the season is every win counts as another percent. And this is a long con. It's a long play. But if they win 10 games, you're going to get a bonus 10% off at Happy Place Hemp. So get your order in here. I would think a lot of you on the schedule, maybe you get one order here, you get another order before Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then you can get the big promo order that we're going to have after the season, depending on how fast you go through the gummies or how much you use them. If you're a half gummy type of guy or a full gummy type of guy, some nights I do 2 of the purples. I don't know if I only need one and then I've taken the 2 and it doesn't matter, but I like to double up on the perps. Okay. For the CBD CBNs. I just like to be asleep. But man, I'm telling you, I can't sleep. It's hard. Why? It's because I have a lot. I'm constantly thinking about this show. That's why. I'm constantly thinking about you. That is why I'm constantly thinking about you and how to best do this show is what I'm constantly thinking about. It's all that's ever on my mind is the Bart Winkler show. The Bart Winkler show. Yeah. So the rest of the episode, I got another voicemail to play. I got some other stuff to do, but I did host for Maggie and Perloff on Monday. And I thought, I'm talking to two great people, and I don't know how many people tuned in. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports covers the NFL. I like talking to this dude a lot. I wish I would have talked to him back on the old radio show. I've had him on Gel before and Writer Than You. And I don't know. I just like talking football with this guy. So we're going to kind of take a national look at things. I do ask about the Packers. He does like Jordan Love. We'll talk some Rodgers and Cowboys and, you know, more of the Kelce Swift stuff. So Jeff Kerr's coming up. We'll have that. Then we'll talk some college football. But this, it's about 10 minutes. Not so much attack on. This is part of the show. This is good content. It's all good content. I was planning. I didn't like book a guy today or whatever. I was planning on doing a live for the Brewers when they clinched. Duh, they didn't play. So we will do a live on Tuesday night. If they clinch, we'll do a live. If they don't clinch, we're still going to do a live Tuesday, whether the Cubs, Brewers, whatever happens. But that's it. I'm not chasing all week to be there when they clinch. Wednesday, we gotta finish Murders, Only Murders in the Building. We gotta start morning show. I got TV night with my wife. Thursday's Packer game. So I'm not chasing this team all week to clinch. Is not something I'm doing. If Shea wants to do a live show, he's more than happy and welcome to do that. So Jeff Kerr and I talk some NFL here on the Bart Winkler Show. Ish.
Jeff, do you think Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are dating? I don't really think they are.
You know what's funny, Bart? I was just about to open with, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. So I had to get my Taylor Swift joke in there. I think they're talking. I'll say that. People I've talked to in the circle, if you will. Keep in mind.
Yeah, what are your sources saying about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, Jeff?
I just know that they're talking. I'll just say that. I'll leave Jason Kelce to actually announce what they're doing or Travis too. But I know like that's been kind of a thing for at least a month. I'll say that.
Well, it's very interesting. And certainly the NFL doesn't need help becoming more mainstream. But that certainly got it being discussed in places it is not normally discussed. Meanwhile, there was a lot that happened in week 3 that is definitely worth discussing. I don't know where to start. Let me just flip the wheel. How about the Cowboys? What happened there? I still think they're good. The Cardinals, are they good? They have that one bad half against the Giants, but maybe there's something there. Cowboys seem to do this to us all the time where you start to believe, and then they go into what we all thought was the worst team in the league's house and lose badly, Jeff.
So, Bart, I was laughing about this today because I was curious to hear of all the NFL news, where the Cowboys would fall with the Dolphins scoring 70, Travis and Taylor, all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, the Cowboys probably have about the fourth or fifth biggest headline today. And nope, they're number one. It's no matter what the Cowboys do, win or lose. And I'm honestly not surprised they lost a game like that just because I think Michael Parsons is right. They do play down to their competition. And that just seems to be something the franchise has done over the last, you know, 20, 25 years. And to me, I still think they're good. I think they are beatable, though. I was curious to see what was going to happen when they would go down early in the game. I didn't think it was going to be against Jonathan Gannon and the Arizona Cardinals, and they wouldn't be able to stop Josh Dobbs. But is Trayvon Diggs' loss that significant for them? Like, do they not have depth back there? I know it's very hard to replace an all-pro and a really good corner, but they just looked off on offense and on defense, and when they tried to get back into the game, their red zone offense just wasn't good either. I think they were 2 of 5 in the red zone on Sunday, but I think it's just a blip in the road. But you got San Fran and Philadelphia right above you in the pecking order in the NFC. You've got to beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, I think that is fair. I think you do have to do that. They did not. That was a shocking, I guess, result. You also had Baltimore lose. You had Jacksonville lose. So there were some upsets. I think Baltimore, I mean, they're still trying to figure things out on offense. I am surprised that Jacksonville's 1-2. I mean, I thought this was their division. Now it could still very well be. We are early, but the Colts being 2-1, the Texans seem to be rallying around Stroud. Should Jacksonville be worried?
Yes and no. I still don't think the division's that good, but Shane Steichen's been making lemons or making lemonade out of lemons with what he got in Indianapolis. I mean, why even bring Jonathan Taylor back when you got Zach Moss running for 100 yards or being as efficient as he is? And all of a sudden, the offensive line is their offensive line again. And now all of a sudden, the defense is good. And all of a sudden, the Colts look like the Colts from a couple years ago when they had Phillip Rivers. So I think a lot of that has to do with Shane Steichen and the culture that's coming in there. And that's nothing against Frank Reich either. I mean, I just think everything became a mess after the Carson Wentz fiasco. But, I mean, Houston's still a young team. I think that they've always been a thorn in Jacksonville's side, where Jacksonville's good or bad. But the way Jacksonville has played the last 2 weeks, really the whole season, it's just nothing has come together for them. Calvin Ridley's been kind of a disappointment. I think Trevor Lawrence is just a notoriously slow starter, and their defense just doesn't seem to make the plays they need to make. And their defense has been fine the first couple of weeks. It's just they're not getting that crucial takeaway they need. So maybe it's just from covering Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. I know the Eagles outside of 2017, they 2016 even they had a quick start, but the last couple of years they always were a slow starting team. And I think Doug Peterson knows the grind of a 17-game season. I think Jacksonville ends up winning that division. But you've got to look at it, Bart, as they weren't just supposed to win the AFC South. They were supposed to compete for the AFC, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Talking with Jeff Kerr, we're talking NFL. There's so much to cram in here because there are a lot of interesting storylines. I think, to go back to that Chiefs game, I feel bad for the Bears. I feel bad for the Bears because they're a laughing stock right now. And there's a lot of stuff happening in that organization. But in the last calendar year, Bears fans have gone through Aaron Rodgers saying, "I own you." And Bears fans had they couldn't respond. It's true. And then they have this whole offseason hyping up Justin Fields. And then they're the team that, gets beat in the Taylor Swift game. And Justin Fields, I thought he was QB1 coming out of that draft. I thought he had it. And last year, there was a game against the Dolphins where he ran all over the place, and Bears fans are finally happy they got their quarterback of the future. Now, I know it's like for the internet and stuff, but there's people doing TikToks burning his jersey, and it's like, I feel like Justin Fields, this is what I feel like with Draymond Green. Draymond Green could have gone to a bunch of different organizations and had a variance of careers. And some might have been bad, some might have been decent. He went to the best possible place for him to shine as a pro in Golden State. Justin Fields, same thing. He went to the worst possible place for him to shine as a pro. And I think the Bears have ruined him more than he's ruined the Bears.
Oh, I agree. So to me, and I've defended Justin Fields a lot too. Now, I can blame Justin Fields. Yeah, and I can blame Justin Fields for a couple of things he's done. Like, I don't think you go and blame the coaches and then you go afterwards and blame the media for stuff you've said. So this week looks to be a disaster anyway. But when Luke Getsy's calling pretty much the same play 2 weeks ago, against Tampa Bay, and it ended up in a pick six, I'm like, that's on him. Like, they're not trusting Justin Fields to throw the ball downfield. And I don't think that's a Fields thing. I think that's their offense and their bad offensive line. And the fact that they traded a second-round pick for Chase Claypool just continues to blow my mind because he stinks. They added DJ Moore, and I think they thought they were going to do like what the Eagles did with A.J. Brown, and Justin Fields was going to elevate his game like Jalen Hurts, but they never really developed him as a passer. They didn't have a Shane Steichen to do that. So I'm blaming the Bears. The Bears have never had a 30-touchdown pass. I'm sorry, what was it? They never had a 4,000-yard passer in their franchise history. They never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns. See, Eric Kramer is their single-season leader in pass touchdowns. It is completely the Bears. They've ignored that position for years. They finally get a talented guy like Justin Fields, and he's basically a modern-day Bobby Douglas for them. It's embarrassing.
They also, the Bears, had to play the Packers week one, and that Packer team is so in the Bears' head. Every time they hire a coach, they say, "We're going to beat the Packers." Already, if I was the Bears owner, I'd fire any coach that said that. Don't think about the Packers. Think about yourself. Stop obsessing over them. Packers were down 17-0 in the fourth quarter, and Jordan Love in that game, look, Jordan Love overthrew some passes. Jordan Love underthrew some passes. Some of the receivers, right off their hands. But when a quarterback comes back from 17 down and scores 18 in that fourth quarter, I don't know what the ceiling is on Love, but I do think the Packers have something in him.
Oh, I do too. And I defended Love last week because I thought he played tremendous against the Falcons. And all of a sudden, the last four possessions, I think that the Packers got a total of maybe 18 yards or something like that. I think they ran like 12 plays for 18 yards. And that's how they lost to the Falcons. You know, they just went three and out. I'm like, I'm curious to see how Jordan Love, a young quarterback, responds to this because he was missing some throws there. And boy, did he ball out. It seemed like once Derek Carr got hurt, that game just completely changed. And Jameis Winston didn't do anything to lose the game. He just didn't do anything to win the game either. And that's the problem. And, you know, Jordan Love just went into like, oh, okay, I'm going to be this all-pro quarterback. I'm going to channel my inner Brett Favre, my inner Aaron Rodgers. And all of a sudden he's hitting Jaden Reed on big time throws. And I really like Jordan Love. I don't know what the Packers do to groom quarterbacks anymore. I guess they just wait for their fourth year till they're ready to go. But it seems like Green Bay had that streak where they haven't had a Pro Bowl quarterback. They have quarterback make the Pro Bowl every year since 1991 because of Favre and Rodgers. It feels like that streak's going to continue.
Okay, Jeff Kerr joining us. Rodgers. I was surprised the Jets kept Zach Wilson around. I was surprised they didn't do something else. But if you look long term, you think, okay, Rodgers will rub off on Zach Wilson. This to me looks like when the Packers lost Rodgers a few years ago and Mike McCarthy said, look, I got 3 years invested in Brett Hundley. I got 2 years invested in Joe Callahan. And now Robert Saleh's up there saying, yes, we believe in Zach Wilson. And then immediately, you know, he goes back into his office, puts his head down and like cries. I don't know what the Jets are supposed to do. Everyone's floating around Kirk Cousins. I think it's a little late for that. I think that this is just a lost year for the Jets unless there's some sort of – like you watch that first game Monday night and you think, oh, the Jets' defense is going to propel them to 10 wins and Rodgers will come back in the playoffs. And then you realize, oh, no, this team's pretty bad, Jeff.
Oh, it's bad. And that team needed Aaron Rodgers to be healthy the entire season. Or if Aaron Rodgers had to miss time, it had to be like a game or two, not the whole season, not four plays in. And look, I reached out to Matt Ryan yesterday. He works with us here at CBS, and Matt Ryan said, yeah, my agent reached out to him, but I'm not interested. You know, he said he likes what he's doing here. So, okay. You know, Chad Henne, he coaches at school 15 minutes away from me. You reach out to Chad Henne. Oh, you know, the Jets call you. I'm not interested. I'm retired. I moved on. I won a Super Bowl. It's, you know, there's just no options. It's like Carson Wentz is desperate to get a job, but no one wants to touch him. And the Kirk Cousins thing, well, yeah, it's nice in theory, but how are you going to afford him? You're already paying Aaron Rodgers. Are you really going to take on that salary? You can't trade for backups because no one wants to trade their backups. Like, honestly, their biggest mistake was probably just letting Mike White go to the Dolphins. They probably should have just kept Mike White in there because that whole team loved him anyway.
I was driving to the studio to do Maggie and Perloff Monday, Wisconsin Bike Fed, man, was dancing in my head because I did it again. I did it again. I'm telling you, when I am a pedestrian, my brain thinks differently than when I'm a driver. When I'm a driver, I'm super aggressive. And even on the way there, I was on Capitol and I pulled out and I'm by the Shorewood High School. Don't even think that there's a kid biking in the lane, okay? I don't even think about that. And there's a lot of accidents this time of the year. That's what the message is to prevent those accidents. I'm surprised, actually, there's not more. There's a lot of accidents that don't happen because pure luck or the pedestrian scrambles for their life. That's bad. So as you're driving, do remember that you need to slow down, look around, have your lights on, and be cautious of these pedestrians. People are biking. People are walking. People are commuting in other ways besides sitting in a giant vehicle, you know? There's other ways. And I'm just in a shitty little Hyundai. I'm not in one of these massive trucks to compensate for my small driveway. I'm not in one of these massive trucks. I'm just in a little Hyundai. Could still do a lot of damage. Wisconsin Bike Fed just wants you to remember to slow down, look around, keep your lights on. Check out more, wisconsinbikefed.org. Good for that. I got an email from the Packers, the official Packers. I'm on their list still. And it said, oh, it scared the shit out of me. It said Pro Football Hall of Famer Jerry Kramer, and that was it. That was, I got the subject. I didn't see. I thought he was dead. He's going to sign copies of Run to Win Tuesday at the Packers Pro Shop from 2 to 3:30. So if you are in the Green Bay area and want a Jerry Kramer autograph, he will sign a copy of Run to Win. He is alive and not dead. Got another Carl's Place voicemail. You know what? Earlier, I don't think that I ever mentioned happyplacehemp.com, promo code BART, 25% off. So let me just tack onto this. And of course, you can get all that. Happy Place Hemp, promo code BART, 25% off. I set that there for Tim to edit in post. Here is a voicemail from Landmark, following up on our Brewers stadium discussion.
What's going on, Bart? It's Landmark. I wanted to call and talk about this Brewers stadium issue situation. Now, everybody is talking about this beer district stuff. Now, a question, and somebody may have already answered this question, but the question I have is, how much money are the Brewers making on parking? Because on their website, it says that they have more than 12,000 parking spots. And based on what they charge, which there are all the different levels for Cubs games and not Cubs games and whatever, these folks may be making more than $10 million on parking per season. So I can kind of see why they really wouldn't want to upset that little apple cart. But my bigger thing with the beer district thing is there is never really a time that you might just randomly end up at the ballpark unless you've intended to be there. That's the biggest difference between the beer district and the beer district. Because with the beer district, if you're in town for a conference, hey, you're there, right there. If you're in town for an Admirals game or a Marquette game or whatever you're here for, even if it's not the Bucks, it's right there. You can just stumble across it. Plus, there's a lot of accessibility downtown in terms of parking where you could park on Water Street. You could park at the museum. You could walk over if you have that capability. As to where there's not really that capability at a ballpark unless you specifically intend to be there. So I would really like to hear folks plan for how are we actually going to do this. I thought just the point that Dan made about the Komatsu plant was interesting because that would at least put it closer to that West Dallas, West Milwaukee-ish area where, hey, maybe you get some people who can come there and then you walk in. Like, that would be good. But other than that, I just don't see it being super functional. So, other thing I'll say is, nice Packers win yesterday. Obviously, there were lots of ups and downs, lots of stuff for them to work on. But, gives us content, right? That's really all we can ask for. Those are my thoughts that have been burning a hole in my pocket, so I wanted to get it out to you. Hope you're having a great day, y'all. Bye.
Well, good voicemail, Landmark. 402-915-BART. Problem is, everything is more spread out than it needs to be. Chicago was a disaster, and then there was a fire, and then they like were like, eh, let's build this better. I'm not saying we need a Milwaukee fire. We need things, we need to be able to pick things up and move them. The whole area, the whole valley, the whole where these train tracks are, I mean, there's a lot of river space that we're just not utilizing. The hospital being all the way in Tulsa, it should be like closer to downtown. If we could take where 25th Street is. And you can get Pato there, and then somehow from Pato to downtown, have a hospital there, have the water used, have the stadium there, take down 794, if we could just take a pen and pen, like we could really make an amazing city. But everything got built in different areas, and now we're trying to all like connect them and say, let's do this, let's do that. I don't see the beer district as being a feasible thing for a lot of the reasons you just said. There is that nice area with Kelly's. I wish that was closer somehow. You guys know the fourth base is just a pop fly away. I've told you that from the ballpark. I don't know. It's just there is a lot of parking. There's way too much. All I know is that there's too much parking. And like I told Dan Schaefer, even just take out a parking spot and make it a dog park. It's just too much. It's obnoxious. It's weird. So fucking much parking. Why? It's stupid. So I would like, when the Brewers have this wild card series next week, everybody better be tailgating. And another thing is, they don't let you just sit there. People used to just go to the parking lot and tailgate and sit and listen on the radio. That's a nice way to spend an afternoon. You hit the ballpark, you know, not going in. They don't let you do that anymore. That's lame too. I don't know, guys. I'm just trying to solve every problem at once. All right. I did talk some college football with Barrett Salee, and I really enjoyed talking to him too. So we'll wrap up with some college football. This one is sort of tacked on. I don't know how everybody is with college football. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I know that some of you don't care. And some only care when the Badgers are undefeated, as I was talking about with Timmy. But we talked some good stuff. A lot of lamenting about the Pac-12. It is really a bummer about what's happening with the Pac-12. So I will play that, and then the podcast will just end. That will be about it. And then Tuesday will be live. I'll have an this week. The live portion, we might only be a YouTube-only show that night. I don't know. We'll see. Because I got to pack. I got to figure out, okay, well, maybe we have too much. Maybe I don't need to go live. Nah, we'll go live. I got to talk to you guys. We'll go live. All right, let's talk some college football, and then you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday.
I'm going to start with a Dion question, if you don't mind. I think that this has been a fun, interesting ride. And I think that when Dion said afterwards, obviously Colorado lost, for those that are unaware, he says, now I know what we need, and now we know what we need. Do you think long term, like, the whole part of this is I'm trying to figure out if he's there in 5 years. Does Dion want to be here and then jump to a bigger school? Does he want to jump to the pros? Because I think if he's the best way for him to succeed is to really do this at Colorado, the first place that gave him a shot. But I don't know long term if that's the play.
Well, I think, honestly, after watching what he has done, not just really at Colorado, but Jackson State primarily, is that, yeah, I mean, he fits in college because he's embracing everything that a lot of coaches in college hate. Not necessarily using them, but, I mean, it's a 24/7, 365 job for college head coaches, and it's doing a bunch of things that a lot of them don't like to do, like recruiting your own roster constantly and dealing with NIL and recruiting to restrict all that stuff. In the NFL, you just talk ball, right? Like, that's all you do. Dion would like that, obviously. He does like that. But I think he enjoys the other things as well. And on top of that, it seems like just throughout his history post-football, he does enjoy, like, mentoring kids. So, to me, he fits in college. As far as Colorado, I think he'll definitely get some interest from other schools if he does – build it back to a point where it's competitive in what will be the Big 12 after this year. Because, you know, he is embracing and using the new rules to his advantage better than a lot of other schools. So if he builds Colorado back into a decent team, and by decent, I mean 6-6, which this year would be remarkable, then, you know, do it in the Big 12 one more year. And yeah, he might get some looks. I think it depends on who those looks are from, whether he stays in Colorado or not. But it's not just going to be one of those things where, hey, after 1 year of, you know, having Colorado discussed for first month of the season, hey, you're going to come lead Alabama. No, like, that's not where he is right now.
I'm gonna do something that I should never do. I'm gonna use politics as like an analogy. And again, I'm not saying this from any partisan way. I'm just saying that it feels similar to when one Donald Trump started his campaign and he was doing things a different way. Sure. And then all these other candidates started to say, I need to emulate his way. And it seemed for some guys very like, what are you doing? Like, it didn't fit them. Like, maybe it fit Donald Trump. And I think, like, with Dion, like, okay, Dion is Dion, and he's doing things a certain way. And then Dan Lanning trying to say we're not getting clicks when he's clearly getting clicks. Then Ryan Day going off about 85-year-old Lou Holtz. Like, now it just seems like everybody's trying to copy Dion. And I just think that his impact in college football, in terms of, it's like it's a meteorite crashing into Earth. I don't think one man is really change the landscape of things this quickly in a long time.
Man, your Twitter mentions are going to get really ugly after mentioning Donald Trump. Trust me, I've been there. He retweeted me one time for stating something factually accurate about a football game.
I
get it. I think it's actually a really fair comparison, you know, because, right, he's Deion's sort of the unorthodox candidate. He's the guy that is gaining popularity, has gained popularity, brought new ideas to the table in a different way. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. And he's certainly not as divisive. But, you know, inside the college football community from a fan base perspective, maybe he is. You know, I think a lot of the traditional college football fans are kind of put off by it. Not necessarily him, but his success, because I think the fact that some, you know, parts of the population thought that they were going to be this massive, you know, this massive story that comes out and convinces all sorts of not what Colorado was. Now, I think what Saturday did, which I think is very important and is something that needs to be, that it really was a unifying experience for everything Colorado, because there are people like myself that didn't think they'd win more than three games all year. And I'm floored that they got the three out of the first 3 weeks. And the fact that there are, you know, maybe some other fans that popped in and thought, hey, 8-9 wins, Pac-12 contention. No, in reality, after what we've seen, 6-6 is the right number. You know, that's a big improvement from a lot of us who thought, myself included, they'd be like a 3-win team, and maybe brought back down the hype to reality a bit. So, you know, I think it's, you know, the meteoric rise comes with an inevitable fall, or at least a readjustment. So that's kind of where I think it's a pretty good analogy.
Thank you. I know it was. That's why I made it. Barrett Salee joining us. I got bummed because I thought, you know, I'm thinking this Dan Lanning, Deion thing, and I'm thinking Dan Lanning had to, like, do something like that because, you know, it's going to be a recruiting.
Let me I don't mean to interrupt you. Dan Lanning, that's Dan Lanning, right?
Yeah.
That's who he is. I mean, look, this idea that it was like this massive, you know, insult to everything Deion in Colorado, and no, like that's a pregame speech. It's every coach does them. They're angry. They're mad about everything. Like Kirby Smart motivated the Georgia Bulldogs last year, because he said that someone somewhere said, so he said that everybody thought that they'd go 7-5. It's like, who on earth thought Georgia would go 7-5 last year? Like, every single pregame speech across the board is founded in half-truths, exaggerations, or outright lies. Like, every single one. There's not one on earth that's ever been anything other than that. And that's all it was for Dan Lanning. I mean, if he's getting criticized for that, then those people are insane, like utterly insane.
Well, I think it's a great thing to tell your kids. I think having the cameras in there is a part of, and what I want to say was, it's like you have to, I was getting excited for this recruiting bidding war that was going to go on with Oregon and Colorado, and maybe there's still some of that, but what saddened me was that it's not Pac-12 rivals anymore. We just watched that game, and now they're in the Big Ten. Colorado's in the Big 12. The Pac-12 is having the greatest season they've had in decades, and it all is—it's all crashing down because they didn't, like, it was just wrong place, wrong time in this giant war between ESPN and Fox, and you're going to miss out on this 108-year conference just because these two networks are competing. I just, the better the Pac-12 is this year, like, the more sad I get.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's, and I'll tell you what, conference power rankings are coming up tomorrow on CBSSports.com. That's what you call a tease in the radio business. And I wrote, finished writing them today, and there will be some Pac-12 love, just a little bit of Pac-12 love. But you're right, it is sad because, you know, all these Pac-12 teams that are going to, you know, say things to get, you know, on the national radar or whatever, we're not going to have a chance to see Colorado or Deion respond for the most part because of the schedule changing. But, you know, I think what's interesting is that, I said beforehand, before the season, that there are going to be a lot of coaches in the Pac-12 and everywhere that are run the score up on Deion, which is not a slight to Deion. It's just to make a statement to other, to recruits. Hey, you know what? you heard the sizzle, you see the sizzle, we're the steak. Now, that's not necessarily what – I mean, Deion's trying to sell the same thing, right? But if you run the score up on Deion, then you can actually say it as fact, right? So I think a lot of coaches – and here's the thing about Dan Lanning, too. He stopped playing after halftime, right? Like, the game was – like he scored 6 points in the second half. That could have scored 80 if they wanted to that game. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm interested to see what happens with USC and the rest of the Pac-12 to see how they handle it, because there are a lot of people in that conference that want to run the score up, not because it's Deion Sanders or they don't like the hype or whatever. It's that they feel like they have to combat the way Deion has had success in the transfer portal, which, again, is totally fine.
Yeah, it's all recruiting. We should know that, and I think that some people – looking at what this is, or you're getting mad over it's all recruiting. I think that this last weekend, Barrett Solis joining us here, CBS Sports Radio. I was doing a shift Saturday, and one of the things that I kept saying was, I think there's the potential for a lot of these games Saturday that when you look back, when the college football playoff is determined, you can look back at this weekend and say that might be, you know, where they got in, or that might be where they got out. And I think Florida State has really set themselves up to a nice path to the tournament. I still think Ohio State, I mean, we're so far out, but I think Michigan beats them by a lot right now. What did this weekend tell for you in terms of, like, as we're narrowing this thing down to the four for one last time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that there's a lot that happened Saturday left a lot of us thin margin for error for several teams. I mean, Clemson's out, but you're right about Florida State. The fact that they got through Clemson, you know, broke a 9-game losing streak in Death Valley in a game that was, I mean, for Florida State, they were on the ropes several times, and they got the job done. So that was huge for sure. Notre Dame has zero margin for error left. Now, with that said, they're going to have one of, if not the best loss in the country if they run the table, right? But the margin for error is not there. I think for Oregon, you know, granted, I don't think the Colorado win's going to look very good when all is said and done, but the way they did it in the situation that they did it with all the hype and the national spotlight, that is going to resonate. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I for the life of me, I cannot figure out why, but nobody's paying attention to the Pac-12 still. And you're right. It's so good. What about Utah? Like, why isn't anybody talking about Utah controlling UCLA from literally the first snap of the game? Like, that can be huge, too. So you're right. A lot went down. Alabama, you know, sort of getting through one of its biggest challenges in a time in which we thought they were reeling is huge. So, yeah, I wouldn't say a lot of it, clarity on Saturday, but it's one of those weekends where you look back, and once everything is clear and the smoke dust has settled, it's going to be a weekend you point to and say, okay, that was one of the defining weekends college football playoff race.
Hey, Barrett, appreciate your time. Have a good few days of whatever, you know, gearing up for week number 5, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.